Okay, William. Hey, good evening. Guess what? We get to start another story. This story is Uncle Key's Cafe, and this is the prologue because we have to explain what's going on with Uncle Key's Cafe. Now, this is a story about Strong Bones, little bit, but not really about Strong Bones. And it's a story about Uncle Key and Uncle Key's Cafe, but not really about Uncle Key. This is a story about a young man named Gustave Panier, who planned a trip to Uncle Key's Cafe to interview the famous reclusive chef. And he decided he'd be the first person to interview trolls. Now, a little bit about Gustave Panier. You probably haven't heard about him because I haven't really talked about him. But Gustave Panier is a PhD student at Washamaugumption University. And Washamaugumption University is way down in Skedaddle, way down away, down where it's flat and everything is kind of goofy. And he's a PhD student in ethnological journalism. Now, you might ask yourself, what is ethnological journalism? Well, it takes a long time to explain, but basically, it's news about primitive cultures. So the first ethnographic journalists went to the Amazon, where they talked to wild Indians in the Amazon. And then some ethnological journalists went to Tibet, where they talked to the Tibetan nomads. And what they tried to do was to provide and report on the people from the people's perspective, not from the perspective of the almighty civilized countries. So that's what ethnological journalism is. And Gustave Panier is a PhD student, and he wanted to make his mark on the world of ethnological journalism by going to talk to some real ethnological type of peoples. And those were Uncle Key, who really is not a primitive, but that's all right, and to trolls. Now, I have to say, trolls being trolls, nobody had ever done an interview with a troll, really. And so conducting an ethnological journalistic interview with a troll would be quite amazing. So Gustave Panier decided that he would go do that. Now, Gustave is going to Washamaugumption University, but there are a couple things you have to know about him, all right? First of all, nobody calls him Gustave. Gustave Panier. Huh, what a name! No, he always drives a Jeep. He loves Jeeps. He's always had a Jeep ever since he bought his first one when he was 18, and he had to buy a used Jeep that was all beaten up, but he loved it, loved it, loved it. And now he's driving a new Jeep with big wide wheels and four-wheel drive, and he can go everywhere because he loves Jeeps so much. And because his initials are Gustave G and Panier P, his initials are GP, everybody calls him GP. So his nickname is GP, and by golly, he is a GP. Now, the other thing you have to know about him is he is going to Washamaugumption University, which is WU. And WU is very proud of its university. And they have a logo that's called the WU Way, or sometimes just the Wu Way. So he likes to wear his baseball cap with Wu Wei on the top, and he has a sweatshirt with Wu Wei written across it, and then a t-shirt underneath with Wu Wei written underneath it, and he really likes the school colors. School colors are black and white. Black and white. Black is for yin, white is for yang, and the symbol of the school is a yin yang symbol, or the Tai Chi, which is really the whirling cosmos of the universe embraced in just several lines. So that's his t-shirt, and he wears that proudly, and his baseball cap. And so he was going to take everything he'd learned at Washamaugumption University, and he was going to become the first Wu Wei student to make world news. So he learned about Uncle Key because people had always gone to Apple Knoll to view the trolls. And they'd bought their I Saw the Trolls at Apple Knoll t-shirts at Mr. Tutty's Grocery and Emporium. But then people always are hungry. And after you view the trolls, you come back starving. And so where did they go? They went to Uncle Key's Cafe. And they had the best lunch, the best dinner, the best breakfast, the best everything they could imagine. And so people always talked about Uncle Key's Cafe, but nobody could ever remember Uncle Key, and nobody had ever written about Uncle Key. They just knew about Uncle Key. So GP decided he was going to track him down. So he looked at his maps, He looked, talked to people. He tracked down the small town of Apple Knoll, high in the Salmon Mountains. And he decided he'd do his homework ahead of time. And so he went out and he collected everything he needed. Well, he's a PhD student and he doesn't really have a lot of money, but he always worked part-time and he wrote stories for the local social blogger, and he wrote stories for the social online media. And so he picked up a little bit of money here, a little bit of money there. And before he went up to Apple Knoll, he bought a whole bunch of stuff to take with him so that he could do his interview. Well, first of all, he had to have his GPS satellite tracker mapper from Goggle, because that would let him know just where he was in the mountains. And then, because he was going to talk to Uncle Key and maybe talk to some trolls, he bought an ultra-sensitivity omnidirectional wireless mini microphone, two of them, so he'd have stereo. These were really, really cool, and they were mini microphones, so we could hide them, and he did. He hid them in a bunch of flowers that looked like just flowers that he stuck onto his Jeep, which was really funny because who has flowers on his Jeep? But he loved it. Then he had to record, so he bought a dynamic decibel dual input digital audio recorder. The dynamic decibel dual audio recorder was so amazing. It would pick up sound from anywhere, you name it. He loved it, and he bought that. And then he went out and he bought a virtual holographic video camera, because he figured if he could talk to the trolls, he could get a 3D input and see what the trolls looked like from the top of their hairy little heads down to the tip of their long tails. So he took his holographic video camera and he stuck that in the car. Then he went out and he took his supersized journalist tablet with stylus and ReadyWrite voice recognition software. Well, this was a supersized stylus and it was almost like a pad of paper. He could write real fast. He could talk real fast. He could take pictures with it in case he needed it for backup. He could even record stuff if he needed it for backup. Oh, he was so, so happy. But that wasn't it. He had even more. He went out and bought a Mega Mini helmet cam with voice control. This was a little helmet. It looked like a baseball cap, but it was a little harder inside, and it had a camera on the front of it. It was a helmet cam, and he could talk to it and say, camera, turn on. Camera, shoot pictures. Camera, zoom in. Camera, shut off. Right? And the camera would do what he wanted because it had voice recognition. So he loved his Mega Mini helmet. Then he had to have pictures, so he bought a Pico Pixelator telephoto camera. Oh, this Pico Pixelator was amazing because it gave him super mega pixels, but it was really small and it would go zoom way out so we could really zoom in and take pictures. And then because he was working out of his car and he had a satellite phone, a satellite GPS, he bought a super Wi-Fi cell signal amplifier router, which he stuck into his dashboard, because that way he could take control of his car. He could call to his car and he could say, turn on. And the car, because he had wired it, would turn on any instruments he plugged in. So he had his digital recorder plugged in. He had his wireless mics plugged in. He could even talk to his Mega Mini helmet cam and say, helmet cam, turn the car on. And the helmet cam would relay that message to the car. And then the super Wi-Fi cell signal amplifier router would click, turn everything on. Then he bought a 2 gigabit stereo e-phone with Wi-Fi and earplugs and voice-activated microphone, so he could listen through his ears, e-phones, and he could hear and he could talk, and it was a satellite phone. It was wonderful. And then he bought an infra-ultra day-night magnoscope. Now, this infra-ultra day-night magnoscope meant that he could see things in the dark, because he knew sometimes trolls came out in the dark, and trolls had very good night vision. But he was human, and he didn't have very good night vision, not like trolls. So with his infra-ultra day-night magnoscope, he could look out at dark, and he could see things move using infrared, and he'd be in a great position if he came on the trolls at night. And then finally, because he was going into the woods, and who knows is in the woods, he bought a high-frequency critter-away safety whistle. This was very, very good because as a safety whistle, when he blew it, well, humans couldn't hear it because the sound was so high. But animals could, and animals did not like that whistle. And so he could blow it and he'd be safe in case like a bear tried to come and bother him, or maybe wolves, or maybe hyenas, or maybe even a lion or tigers or buffalo. He didn't know, but he was going to use his high-frequency critter-away safety whistle. So He got his car all set. He put his flowers on, and he put his high-sensitivity omnidirectional mini microphones up there. And then he took his virtual holographic video camera, and he put that, and he made it look like it was a flag with the Wu Wei logo on it. So it would look like a flag, but it was really a holographic camera because he could take pictures as he went, and then he could see where he was in the woods. That'd be a great way to introduce his interview. And then he got his car. He gassed it up. He got a whole bunch of food for himself because he was going to go into the woods. He didn't know how long he'd be, and he needed extra supplies. So he bought some bread, and he made some bologna sandwiches, and he bought some fruit, and he got some dried mangoes in case he had a munchy crunchy, and he bought some cookies, because you have to have cookies after all, and he bought a bunch of bagels and cream cheese, because bagels and cream cheese are good any time of the day, and he bought just lots of stuff, and a lot of it was organic, because he really, really liked organic food, and it was always good for him. So he packed a big basket, a huge basket, huge, and he had a cooler chest. And the cooler chest was full of lemonade, and it was full of water, and it was full of apple slices, and had orange slices and pear slices, and he had grapes. He loved grapes, and he had a little watermelon too, and everything was packed into his cooler chest, and all his dry stuff was packed into his basket back to the back seat. He was so excited. He set out one morning, and he headed north along Lake Worthington towards the Salmon Mountains. Well, he got on the highway. He rolled down the highway. He was singing songs. He was playing music. Bad Romance! He was even singing that one. Can you believe it? That song kept going forever and ever. Bad Romance! And he didn't feel like a monster, so that's what he was doing. He flew down the highway. Then he turned onto the state road that headed into the mountains. And he rode on that. And then he turned onto a county road. Oh, the county road was a little bumpier, a little smaller, but that's okay. He was going into the mountains. And then he finally turned onto a mountain road. And that was a little slower because that was just two lanes, very tight lanes, and they were very close together. Well, GP was constantly checking his GPS to make sure he was on the right road. And the GPS showed him he was on the right road. He just was, like, going to get righter and righter. So he finally turned into a small switchback road. Now, you know what a switchback is, William? Well, sometimes when you have to go up a mountain, you want to go straight up the mountain. But if you're a car or a horse or a person, you don't want to go straight up that road. That's a whole big climb. So, and you don't want to do stairs because cars don't drive up stairs very well. So what you do is you make a road that looks like an S. And the S goes one way, then it turns and curves another way, and it's a continuous S, an S forever, S, 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 and it keeps turning, 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 and that's called a switch back, because it switched back upon himself, and it goes up and up and up. So he climbed onto a small switchback road, climbed higher and higher into the mountains. He passed waterfalls splashing around him. He passed cedars. He passed Douglas fir, and he came to the top of the hill, the mountain, and he saw a shiny valley river far below. And down far below in the river was Apple Knoll, sited on a little hill over the river, the little lake behind it. GP was so happy. He looked around. He had his critter away little whistle. He looked around to make sure there weren't any bears, no wolves, no hyenas. He was looking for leopards. Maybe there'd be a tiger. Oh no, no tigers here. He was ready to take them on, but he didn't want to, you know. And he finally turned down the hill and then had to go back down the hill on a switchback. Till he got to the valley. And he finally drove into the little town and arrived in Apple Knoll around lunchtime. He drove down the street. He drove past Mr. Tutty's Grocery and Emporium. He drove past a bunch of houses. He couldn't see anybody to ask questions of where is Uncle Key's cafe. He drove around town a couple times, around and around, couldn't see any signs, no cafe. And finally he saw an old fellow standing on the side of the road, and he was painting a door. Looks like he was out, painting up his house. And there behind him were just a couple of people who were walking away. He had been talking to them, and they were walking. A couple of old ladies, a couple of kids, and then this little tiny Japanese kid that was there. He thought, that's interesting. Maybe I can talk to the Japanese kid and do my ethnographic journalism that way. But they were headed away to Mr. Tutty's grocery and emporium, and that left the old gentleman alone. So GP said, I'll go ask him where Uncle Key's cafe is. So he pulled his Jeep up to the side of the road. The flowers rocked with his little microphone. The flag rocked with his holographic camera. And he climbed out and he walked up to the little old man. He had his vest full of packets, pockets stuffed with digital equipment, his basketball cap with Wu Wei on it. He was holding a mic in one hand and a video recorder in the other, and he walked up to Uncle Key. And that, my young William, is the start of our story. But that's only the prologue. I only gave you the background. I only warmed you up for the first chapter, which is Uncle Key Revealed. But maybe not. We'll see. So, my dear William, you have to go to sleep. You have to have a wonderful night. And when you wake up, it'll be morning again. Yahoo! So you have a wonderful sleep. Give your wonderful mama, your wonderful dada, a kiss and a hug for me. And pat your little baby Lauren on the head and say, night, night. And I will talk to you again with Chapter 1, Uncle Key Revealed. Or maybe not. Good night, sweet William.